Joe, what about Oncotype and node positive disease?
Kathy Albane presented on behalf of her colleagues in the Southwest Oncology Group an analysis of the 8814 trial, an old trial that looked at postmenopausal women who were node positive and ER positive, randomized them to 5 years of tamoxifen versus CAF with tamoxifen given concurrently for 5 years versus CAF followed sequentially by tamoxifen. And of course, we know that there was a better outcome for those who received the CAF followed by sequential tamoxifen compared to those who received tamoxifen alone. And what they did was they went back and looked at a subset of these patients in that trial, and about 40% of the parent trial, and looked at whether the Oncotype DX provided additional information to the clinical features. And what they found was very similar to what had been previously reported in the B20 trial that compared tamoxifen versus tamoxifen plus CMF in node-negative disease, and which showed a benefit, clear benefit for CMF chemotherapy in patients who had a high recurrence score. Essentially, they found the same thing in this trial, where those who had a recurrence score of 31 or higher had a significant reduction in the risk of recurrence with the addition of chemotherapy. Those who had a low risk had no benefit, and those who had an intermediate risk, there seemed to be a trend for benefit from the addition of chemotherapy, but the p-value was not statistically significant. On the other hand, if one looks at this data in a different way, looking at forest plots, if one could see it, one would see that there is a very strong trend favoring the administration of chemotherapy in patients who have an intermediate recurrence score in the same direction and with a comparable point estimate as those who have a high recurrence score, but with much wider confidence intervals. If one looks at absolute numbers, one sees, for example, in the low recurrence score group with tamoxifen alone, there's a 60% 10-year disease-free survival versus 64% for CF followed by tamoxifen, no difference. For the high recurrence score, it's 43 versus 55%, which was statistically significant. And the intermediate group was not statistically significant, again, because of wide confidence intervals. But if you look at the numbers, it's 49 versus 63%. So it's a comparable difference numerically as the high-risk group. So we can't – there probably is a benefit in the intermediate group, but the study wasn't adequately powered to detect that. So the take-home messages really, I think, here are that there are two multi-parameter gene expression tests that are commercially available, the Oncotype DX and the Mammaprint. And there's an evolving regulatory climate which governs the availability of these tests. They do appear to be roughly comparable in their ability to discriminate prognosis. And the ASCO panel has endorsed the Oncotype DX, but some would argue that the level of evidence supporting Oncotype and Mammaprint are comparable. And that an important distinction between these two assays is not necessarily the assays, but the methods by which they were developed and validated. And another key difference is the tissue processing requirements, which I think have clearly impacted on their adoption in clinical practice and the ASCO panel's decision. And of course, now we have evidence supporting both Oncotype and Mammaprint. There's similar data with the Mammaprint suggesting that it can provide prognostic information as well in patients with 1 to 3 positive nodes. And in fact, the MINDAC trial is now being amended to allow patients with 1 to 3 positive nodes. And of course, it'll be crucial to complete the TAILOR-X and MINDAC trials, which will further refine the clinical utility of these assays in clinical practice.